Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The G, your first sip is supposed to get it so that the level of the beer when you put it back down
is below the Guinness label.
No,
it has
cuts
to like
G in half,
it.
Perfectly in half. So you split the G.
You ever do that, Don?
I've split the G.
Yeah,
but only once or twice. I'm not really a Guinness guy.
I mean, I do like it. I'm a big fan of it. I will tell you this, for those of you who like to have a non-alcoholic beer, if you want to be the DD, but you still like drinking beer, Guinness Zero, like the just the non-alcoholic version, I've never tasted a non-alc beer that's closer to the real thing taste-wise than that. So I actually give him credit on that one.
I'm getting ripped because I said on Twitter, my go-to beer is an ice cold Coors. What's wrong with that?
A banquet beer?
Yeah.
Another good one. No, people shouldn't rip you for that. They are ball knowers if they rip
you
for
those
that.
Little...
The stubby bottles.
Yes.
No, you got nothing to... You have nothing to be ashamed
Thank
of
you, Chris.
There. Nothing.
Like, oh, it tastes like water. No, it doesn't, you loser.
Of the three major domestic, like, macro beers.
Oh, so, do you also like H2O?
Bud Heavy, MGD, and then Original Coors. Original Coors laps the field with those two. What do they say? Do you also like what?
Water. Do you like H2O? Because that's what it tastes like.
No.
You know how Donnie's dad would ask her that? Answer this? Foster's. Australian for beer.
Or he would just say whatever the cheapest option
Foster's
is.
Foster's tastes like garbage. I'm not going to lie to you. The Aussies know a lot
How
of things.
How about Beer 30?
They don't know that.
Donnie, do you know about Beer 30?
Oh, I've heard of Beer 30.
It was just a 30-pack of beer
it
that was called
Beer
30. 30.
Didn't it have the label? It was just a white can that said beer?
I think so.
That's what it actually was. That's right. Great.
Here's more of A-Rod.
You had said a team that drinks together, wins together.
Yeah.
Have you tried to incorporate that more?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Fair enough. In the game, you had said, you know, you didn't play well. Now that you've had a chance to actually watch the film, just what do you see out of your play?
I can play better, for sure. It's just about sometimes you just have to take what the defense gives you and be comfortable with that. Some of our best plays is just getting the ball into our playmaker's hands and letting them go. So I just need to be disciplined like I usually am and get the ball to the guys.
Can you stop it again for a second?
Go ahead.
I just need to point out that I think it was all in fun and revelry, and I think when the reporter sensed that he might be in a good mood, you want to get some fun questions in because he might give you fun answers. The follow-up about Guinness was basically, are you and your teammates drinking more? Like...
Yeah.
Are you guys just getting hammered together more often? I don't know if that's what I'd want to be admitting to, even if it was true. Hey, you guys like to go out and get wasted?
Who the hell asked that question?
I don't know. I mean, TK probably would love it. He'd say the team that parties
oh,
together
boys.
Wins together. Oh, we'd go out there on the road, boys, and get after it.
Donnie's going to get a whole hour of that tomorrow. Right, Don? You and TK from 10 to 11.
Kicks off the show,
I
baby.
I think TK genuinely, he wasn't kidding about that either. I think he believes if you're a team partying hard and you got young guys, you'll be a better team.
You should
for
text
it.
Him and say, hey, TK, I got an idea for tomorrow's show. You want a shotgun of beer at 9:59?
He would 100%
see what he says
it.
Back.
If he didn't think like there was any problem with doing it and didn't want to do it on camera, he would absolutely do it in the hallway, though.
Like with the Flores defense.
Well, they're going to bring pressure at some point, and you have to have some ideas to combat that. So you got to expect it. They do a good job disguising. Everything looks the same. So, you don't want them to get going and sack you a bunch and play behind the sticks.
Have you learned anything about overseas trips that benefits you, how you handle what to prepare?
I'd love to go over Monday. Have a full week over there. You got a bye week afterwards. Obviously, the NFL put a kibosh to that, supposedly. But this game means a lot to all of us, to the league, to the Rooney family. So we want to represent the team and the Rooney legacy well. But it's great for the game, to grow the game in so many countries. So being a part of the first game in Ireland is pretty cool. I have Irish heritage, so I'm very excited to get out there. As far as the travel goes, it is what it is. You've got to suck it up on Friday and stay awake all day. You do that, you should be feeling pretty good Saturday.
How do you see this team, this offense's personality?
It's a work in progress, for sure. You know, we're getting used to Arthur and how he sees the game and playing with me. And, you know, we're figuring it out. It hasn't been the prettiest at times, but the good thing is our defense played the way they want to play last week, and we made just enough plays to win. So at this point, it's about winning. The chemistry is there, the continuity, the belief in each other is there. It's just going out and executing, feeling better about ourselves on offense.
2 games ago, Calvin made a mistake in the end zone and cost you guys at a big point. This week, he makes the big play. You went to him. What does that say about his accountability, your belief in him?
Well, he's a great kid. He reminds me a lot of Aaron Jones, who was one of my all-time favorite teammates. Disposition-wise, you know, both Jonesy and Calvin are very positive, happy guys. They want to please. They want to do the right thing all the time. They're very accountable. And Calvin just has an incredible play speed. So I felt good about the matchup on third down with the game on the line, and he made an incredible play. So he knows I got a lot of confidence in him. I'd love to get the ball to him and DK a lot more. But you know, the way teams are playing us, we've had to be a little more patient. We're trying to run the ball. I think we made some improvement in that phase last week, but there's a lot more improvement, room for improvement.
Is it simply a matter of staying on the field more for getting DK and the rest of the tight ends and receivers more opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, we only threw the ball 23 times, 24. I ran the ball one time. You know, we had no sacks, but I had to do some throwaways. And we just didn't have enough guys open, I think, at times. So, you know, we got to get open. I got to make the plays that are there, and we got to convert on third down to keep us on the field.
You said that throw to Calvin was – you said you didn't like the throw. It wasn't a good throw. But
sometimes you go back and watch it and you feel better about it. I'm still not crazy about it, but it was better than it felt on the field.
It looked like a perfect back shoulder throw, though, to the untrained eye.
Yeah, but he was like 2.5 yards in front of him, so –
You had talked, I think it was a week or so ago, about more red zone opportunities. But when you're down there, you converted all but one. How do you feel? What's the reason for this?
Should have been all but all, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think Art's done a good job dialing some stuff up, and then we've made some plays. You know, contested catches, tight window throws. We had a nice scheme last week. We got down there close after the PI on Darnell, getting Kenny on the edge. So it's scheme. It has got some guys open. You look at the Jets game. You know, I didn't do a whole lot on the Johnu touchdown, on the Jalen touchdown, just trying to not mess it up. Hard to mess up a little pop pass, you know. But, you know, it's a combination of scheme and then execution. We've done a good job of both.
Aaron, you've had 3 games with this helmet, I guess. What's your level of comfort?
No, I hate it. I mean, I wore the one last year, had no concussions, some arbitrary ruling that makes it obsolete now. Silly. I should have pushed it more. Just petition the league to let me wear it again one more time.
Is it just a feel thing in terms of the hate? Does it just feel weird on your head? Or
aesthetics, too. Looks terrible. Looks terrible. I saw a picture of myself. They put a graphic up because I, you know, passed far for fourth. And it was a picture of me from like 2012. I said, look at that. Just helmet fits perfect. Tiny little ear pads. Face mask in the perfect spot.
He is right. His helmet does look awkward.
It's a dopey looking helmet that makes him look dopier looking, or dopey looking to
begin. It looks like the helmet's too big for his head,
and it looks like it has
the helmet to head ratio is not right.
We all played youth baseball, correct? So I always had to wear the XL helmet. Shocking, I know, but the other kids wore the helmets that had thicker padding because they had smaller heads, so it was designed to fit better. That helmet is a big helmet, though, that has like an inch of padding all the
way around.
I know,
you can see the padding inside of it.
Right.
What I don't get is, I watch just about every game, I don't see other quarterbacks with awkward fitting helmets.
Do you remember though? This
Lamar Jackson's doesn't look weird. Josh Allen's doesn't look weird. Joe Burrow's didn't look weird.
Did wear a very old helmet. Remember when AB got mad about his helmet?
Yes,
being...
I do. But my point is, there's got to be some in between from his old relic
helmet.
But
what if he doesn't like any of the in between options? He went for this thing and makes him look like the Great Gazoo.
I actually think there was a clue there too, that he still thinks that. Despite what he said before the season started about keeping the door open, when he said, I should have petitioned the league to let me wear it one last time.
I could twist that, though.
Into what?
That he did he actually say one last time or say petition to let me wear it again?
No, he said one last time. Like,
could be, but then he also, I mean, remember, he also went from, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it, to door is ajar. So, like, he could change his mind. He could also just say, I'm going to keep petitioning them because maybe I plan on playing more than just 1 year. I could say if he thinks he's not just sucking it up for a year and maybe he's sneaking his way into playing 2 years, he'd want the old helmet.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot from Brett in those 3 years. Brett obviously played a long time. I played a long time. It's kind of a longevity record passing.
You're obviously very familiar with the Vikings. Yeah. But this year, they have a much different team, especially on defense. The other Rodgers, those two big picks. Just what do you see out of this defense, and what's going to make it difficult for you?
Well, I mean, it's Flo's defense. He's a phenomenal coach. He was here a few years ago. And, you know, it's good to see him, you know, in a position of leadership. I feel like, you know, he hopefully... I mean, probably should at some point get another head coaching job based on the way that he's coached defense the last couple of years. Because the schemes they run and the way they're coached, there's a lot of really good chemistry and continuity on that side. It doesn't just come from players. There's a schematic part of that that's really impressive. And then the players obviously make it go once the call is made. And you have veteran guys. You have guys who can do different things, like their three, you know, outside guys, 58, 15, and 43. Who can all drop into coverage and be effective, rush the passer extremely effective. You got my old buddy Harrison, you know, running around disguising a couple really good corners, a great corner who can come and play nickel, a couple great inside guys. So there's not any holes on the defense, and they can throw a lot of stuff at you.
Aaron, when you were weighing what you were going to do this year during the offseason, there were reports out there Schefter maybe headed up that Minnesota was on the table at some point. Was that ever, you know, did you ever engage with anything with them? Was there ever any, you know, a chance that might have happened?
Well, I've addressed that already, but I'll just reiterate that Kevin and I have been friends since 2008. We used to work out together at a little place called Fitness Quest 10 out in North County, San Diego. So I've known him forever. We've been friends forever, and we keep in touch. He's one of the guys I keep in touch with. Things never progressed, you know, farther than catch-up conversations. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it sounds like Mike Florio had different information on that, that Rodgers wanted to play there, but the Vikings wanted to give McCarthy a shot instead. I'm still, though, hung up on more over-the-top praise of Flores, that they've got this incredible combination there of players with this diabolical scheme for defenses. And it just frustrates me because the Steelers, in theory, have better players on defense. They've spent more money on them, and they don't get the same results. And you had this guy who... Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't have any kind of attachment to Flores the way that Mike Tomlin did, having coached with him, who just as an opponent says, yeah, he should be a head coach in the league again based on how smart he is defensively.
One thing I feel...
Man, it's really going to piss me off if they score like 3 points or something like that there.
To that end... One thing I do think is encouraging about Rodgers being the quarterback, I don't know, it's independent of whether their protection will hold up. I have seen more cut-ups today of just how insane Brian Flores' defense pre-snap movement is, and people have chalked it up to his brilliance, and his team has a really high IQ on that side of the ball so they can pull off all the disguising. If there's one quarterback alive at this point who you think wouldn't be fooled by that disguising, don't you think it would be Rodgers? To say nothing of whether they can protect him, win physically, I would think he should be able to pre-snap process even what Brian Flores throws at him and get the ball where it's supposed to go.
Wasn't the case last year in London, though.
Supposed to. I know.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line, a person in your law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For you. Wake up early and go hang out with Donnie Football and Mark Cabali. They're bringing the flavor of Ireland to you at Shiloh Plate and Pour Sunday morning. Kegs and eggs. A live bagpiper will be there. And samples from Dubliner Whiskey and also Fire Whistle Red Irish Ale. The doors at Shiloh Plate and Pour open at 8, and the drinks will be flowing. Cheer on the black and gold there at Shiloh Plate and Pour Sunday, starting at 8 with 93.7 The Fan.
Now, I thought that bagpipes were a Scottish thing, but as I look it up, apparently associated with both Ireland and Scotland.
I kind of want to ask the guy if he can rip off the Rowdy Roddy Piper theme song for me.
Does the Irish bagpiper wear a kilt too, or is that just the Scottish one?
Are
they both kilt wearers?
I think Scotland, I know, is kilt. I think Ireland might not be. Apparently,
so he'll have pants on.
I don't know if he's going to be wearing like Levi's
colors
jeans.
Colors might be different.
Well, definitely.
Exact origins debated. Theories suggest ancient Egyptian or Roman roots, so they're just going around the pyramids bagpiping the hell out of things?
I heard King Tut used to play a little bit.
Cook was there to cover that concert.
Our football talk on The Fan is presented by Paramount+. Sly Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King, which also features my dad. This season, Dwight faces the most dangerous adversaries yet. And my dad says that they really are some...
They're adversarial?
There's some bad hombres this year on that
some
show.
Some bad hombres.
Forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect with his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King now, exclusively on Paramount+. Doubleheader on Paramount+ locally this week, if you have it. You'll get the big Ravens and Chiefs game at 4:25 here in Pittsburgh. And then earlier in the day, you'll get the Saints and Bills. Aditi Kinkabwala is packing her bags for a trip to Vegas. She has the 1-2 Bears coming off their first win in the Ben Johnson era, heading to Vegas to take on Geno Smith and the Raiders. Tom Brady just did the Bears game. So is he going to pass along information to the Raiders for this matchup?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Hi, Aditi.
Hi. Wait, can you go back? Your dad is an actor?
Yes, he's an extra in a lot of these shows down in Atlanta where they film.
How have I never known this?
I mean, I've only mentioned it on the air 100 times.
Aditi, his bare ass was on camera once.
That is true.
Oh, gross. You had to look at your dad's naked butt?
I never watched it.
Didn't your dad warn
you?
Because
he knew that it was his naked butt?
No, I just wasn't really into the movie. I hate to say it.
I mean, didn't your dad also get worried that your sister would be really upset by it?
Yes, and he had to have a... sit down conversation.
Honey,
about
my
it.
Butt will be on film.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And how old were you and your sister at this time?
This is like 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Well, so your dad's like close to 70, maybe?
He's in his mid to late 60s, yeah.
And someone wanted to show his butt.
Correct. It was a prison scene in a movie.
Okay, we can just move on now. I don't know that I need to picture this in my head.
Aditi is brought to you by Tap Brick Oven and Poorhouse in Greensburg. We just heard Aaron Rodgers lavish more praise on Brian Flores. How is it that the Steelers had, arguably, you've got Vic Fangio out there and a couple other guys, they had this brilliant defensive mind in their building, Aditi, and they didn't promote him. They didn't keep him around. What happened?
Well, I think a lot of that was Brian Flores wanting to go out on his own also and be seen as standing on his own 2 feet in some ways, right? Because even if the Steelers had let him completely, entirely run the defense, you've got a defensive head coach whose fingerprints are all over the defense. I mean, go back to the last year of Dick LeBeau's tenure here in Pittsburgh, and Mike Tomlin was calling the defense. And Dick LeBeau is arguably one of the greatest defensive minds the game has seen. So I think that even if Brian Flores had full autonomy, there would always be this idea, but is it Mike Tomlin's? Is it Mike Tomlin's defense? And then you think about it, Brian Flores gets a lot of say in Minnesota. He has autonomy over that defense. They really value his input when it comes to personnel, to scouting, the guys he wants to sign. It's a different culture and environment in that building. And when you have a very young head coach in Kevin O'Connell, who was a player when Brian Flores was a coach in New England, it's a little bit different than working under a guy that's the longest tenured coach in the NFL.
Okay, if that's the case, then what is it that you hear? Because I'm just getting like bummed out when I hear all these praises heaped upon Flores by Tomlin, by other people. What makes his defense from the people you talk to just so unbelievably difficult to deal with, Aditi? What is the genius from the people you speak to about this sort of thing of Brian Flores?
Well, a lot of it is demeanor, right? And that's the point that he gets a say in his players. A lot of it is the edge. A lot of it is the aggression. A lot of it is the way that they communicate and how in sync they are. I love the way he's willing to take chances. You take a guy like Josh Metellus last year and the way they were using him, it's almost like Derwin James-esque. And it's less about being slave to anyone's scheme or being so rigid, but how do I get the best and the most out of my players? And it's constantly, I hate to use the word evolving because it sounds like such a cliche, but it's not standing still. It's funny. You mentioned the Raiders. It goes back to something that we talked about with Pete Carroll week one. And he was saying how, yes, there was, he helped, you know, he essentially created this cover three and what they were doing out in Seattle and all of this. And he said, you know, but over the years, coaches leave and they take the defense and they take it to different places and they're running it in various places that you can't run the same thing. You have to come up with new ideas. And Brian Flores is a guy that's always coming up with new ideas based on his player skill set.
Yeah.
Let me say that. Based on the guys that he has in the building.
Smart.
He sits there and he says, okay, what does this guy do best?
Yep.
Okay, let me figure out how to deploy him in that way or how to play to his wheelhouse. And we see it way, way, way too much in the National Football League, unfortunately, that it's not always fitting square pegs into round holes, but it's, I love my scheme. I want to do what my scheme is, as opposed to, wait a minute, maybe this guy is better in a different way.
I want to go back to the fingerprints thing that you said about Tomlin, that even if Flores was here, his fingerprints would have still been all over the defense. Nick Sirianni's an offensive guy. Kellen Moore called the plays. Kellen Moore is now the Saints head coach. Andy Reid let Eric Bieniemy call plays in Kansas City. I mean, it's not totally uncommon that even highly respected Super Bowl winning coaches who have a specialty on one side of the ball still cede that power over to a play caller, a coordinator, and become more of a CEO head coach. So if Tomlin saw these things in Flores, he should have been able to do that, right?
Everybody has a different personality. I was there when Nick Sirianni remember, when Nick Sirianni first got the head coaching job in Philly, he was calling the plays. And then he realized that, you know what, I really need to run this whole team, and Shane Steichen is a really smart guy. I'm going to have Steichen call the plays. And that will free me up to deal with a whole bunch of other things, address a bunch of other things. And yes, the old school, we've talked about this a million times. I came into the league under Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin was a CEO head coach who coached his coaches and offered ideas and didn't micromanage. And that's certainly how Pete Carroll is. Pete Carroll is trying to coach up Patrick Graham, his defensive coordinator, as opposed to saying, you will do it my way. And everybody's wired differently. Some head coaches feel like it's really important to run an offense that they feel good about, that they feel comfortable with, that plays to what they think is safest. Other head coaches say, you know what, I hired a guy to run the offense, I'm going to let him run the offense. And I might be in his earpiece occasionally to say, hey, I think we should run the ball, or hey, let's go for it on fourth.
That's why I think it's kind of unfair. That's why I think it's unfair to rip Terrell Austin for the Steelers' defense, Aditi.
I mean, look, I've been saying this going back to Keith Butler when poor Keith Butler was getting all this heat, and I said it's not fair because I knew for a fact that if Keith Butler had full autonomy, he was going to be running a different defense than the defense he was tasked with running.
Is Mike Tomlin's defense, by the way, to go back to another thing you said about Flores, that he's kind of constantly evolving, do you get the sense Mike Tomlin as a defensive play caller, like a schemer, the guy who's always trying to come up with counter move to whatever offenses are doing, do you get the sense he is constantly evolving in how he schemes up defense for the Steelers?
I mean, why don't you look at the results and then you tell me?
Well, they're like 30th in total defense and have the best turnover margin or second best in the league. Otherwise, they'd be getting strafed every
Aditi,
game.
Aditi, will you play any casino games when you're in Vegas? If you just waltz through a casino room floor, do you stop at blackjack,
you know,
craps,
no,
anything, poker?
I would much rather drop the $100 or $200 on something that I can keep. I'm not a gambler at all. Mm. And I can't play any games, be it poker or blackmail, because I don't have a poker face. Mm. You guys
blackmail?
Know me.
There,
I can't
blackjack.
Lie. Blackjack.
Well, blackjack doesn't require a poker face. You just have to know math.
But you kind of like when you have your cards. If you have a good hand or a bad hand, I don't have a good poker face. I'm not very good at keeping secrets or pretending to feel something that I don't actually feel.
I think you would have a worse.
You guys know this about me.
I think you would have a worse. You would have a worse poker face, I think, when things had gone unexpectedly bad for you than trying to keep a lid on it if things were good on your hand. Like if you got a card you didn't want to see, I think you would just immediately
blow a gasket.
Show, yes, I think that would show through quicker than
I could see that.
I have a great hand.
I don't know. I mean, but to be fair, I've been accused of smiling too much. My resting face is a smile.
Wow.
That's not my
problem, Aditi. My own wife said, don't go outside looking like you normally do. You'll scare kids.
Aditi, on the way out, Aaron Rodgers said his favorite beer in the world today is a Guinness beer on tap, a Guinness draft. Would that be yours, too?
It's not, but when I gave birth to my son, I was told to drink a Guinness if my milk didn't come in. I'm not a Guinness person.
Okay. Did you have to drink the Guinness then? Is that what you're telling us? Or are you?
No. Okay. In the interest of TMI, no. I didn't have that problem with
who
my
the
son,
hell
so it all worked out okay.
Who in the world at Guinness got that one into hospitals? What the hell?
Look, this is what I was told. All I know, I don't know that West Penn Hospital would have served me the Guinness, but perhaps they would have let my husband sneak it in. I do know that when my daughter was born at the Cleveland Clinic, my producer, who was there, because remember, I was 2 months early and covering a game, did sneak me in champagne, and I have had a taste for champagne ever since. So that worked for me, I guess, right there.
Yeah.
You're not even asking me about the offensive line. I was all ready to talk about nastiness.
We ran out of time. Enjoy Vegas. We'll talk next week. See you, Aditi.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have fun, guys.
Now, music means it's time for Donnie's biggest football topic of the day. It's the Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Donnie, you've got a dandy today.
The debrief. September 24, 2025. So this story came out this morning. I saw multiple people put this out, multiple people that cover high school football in the area. Mike White from the Post-Gazette, Carlo Zovko, who works with us on the KDKA high school football coverage. And it is about the Baldwin Highlanders, the home of Austin Bechtold. If you haven't heard, he may have mentioned once or twice that he went to Baldwin.
And they calling their basketball team's playoff losses were some of the worst days of his life.
They were in the news this past Friday because of a scuffle that took place in their game against Elizabeth Forward. But there is different news around Baldwin going into this week. They have reportedly reached out to league opponents asking for a running clock for the entire game. They are currently 0-5. They are being outscored 277-32. And for one of the biggest schools in the area, they have just 30 players on their roster.
I have a question to start with. What's the name of that punk-ass kid on Baldwin who ripped off the guy's helmet and then took a cheap shot while the helmet was off, then backed away because he knew he'd get his ass kicked?
I actually don't even know the kid's name. I just saw the video.
I probably shouldn't be like talking trash to a high schooler. Buddy, your school is asking for a running clock because your team is so bad and understaffed, so to speak, or under-rostered. Maybe cool your Jets here on ripping a kid's helmet off and then cheap-shotting him. Because I'm pretty sure if it's a team versus team battle, Elizabeth Forward could swarm you, beat your ass with little consequences.
I'll give the kid this. That was the most fight anybody from Baldwin has shown in years.
I'm just saying it's the worst move ever to rip somebody's helmet off, to cheap shot them, and then to go backwards faster than name something that goes backwards fast.
But Deontay Johnson after he catches a football?
Very honestly, a very quick on your feet response.
Baldwin, by the way, 0-5 this year, as I mentioned. They were 0-10 last year. They were 1-9 in both 2022 and 2023. However, the lone wins those years came against Brashear of the City League. The last time they beat a Whippeal team in a game was October 8th of 2021. It's been almost four calendar years since they have won a game against a WPIAL opponent.
I'm no Mike White. What I don't understand about their lack of success is you would think, knowing that area, that you'd have a lot of football families there. You know, like Baldwin does not strike me as a soccer town. You know, this is a lunch pail town. This is a hard hat community. And they've been this bad for so long. And their numbers are so pitiful to have such small teams. It's really a shock to me that they would not be able to put a representative football team out there every year. Where's Dave Wanstead? Where's Jason? Jason Pinkston's coaching at another Whippeal team. Where is he? Central Catholic?
Yep.
He's a Baldwin guy. Get him back there. You know, have some pride and respect for your football program. It really does not strike me as a community that would put football on the back burner to the degree that they have. I'm just really nonplussed by that they're just this bad. And the answer is, you know, at this point, if you're going to say, let's just have a running clock in games, you're admitting to your team that you know you stink and that you're going to lose. So what's even the point?
So here's the thing anyway. The mercy rule in the state of PA, it is at 35 points. It will go into effect once you reach halftime.
I knew that.
And then if you hit 35 points after halftime, it will start wherever that point is. Listen, they're going to play with a mercy rule in the second half anyway. I actually want to stand up for the kids that play at Baldwin and
who still
want
to play in
love
the games.
Playing football.
I agree with that.
Don't take away the time of football these kids have left, because for most of them, they probably won't play at the next level. Maybe a few will. But for a lot of these kids, this is their last high school football. Don't make the game go by in 45 minutes of real time, just over that. It would be 48 minutes real time. Don't take away their football because you as a staff are saying, hey, please take it easy on us. Precious little Baldwin here, who is a 5A school.
Yeah, they just got knocked down from 6A recently, didn't they? I think they were.
Yes.
Okay, here's my solution to this problem of them not being any good. I'm trying to see, because I'm squinting at the map here, the neighboring school districts. TJ would be one, South Park, I would think, like the adjoining districts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brentwood's right there.
Brentwood.
Let these kids jump on those teams.
Yes. Honestly, like, if you want to put them all on one team, if you want to spread them out and just have, like, not a draft, but just, like, a random dispersal, it sounds like Baldwin's real solution here should be don't have a formal football program and just make sure that the kids from your school can play elsewhere.
I think
other schools do. Like, Cornell had, like, disbanded for a while, or Quaker Valley, I think, and they had kids playing for different schools, public schools. Do that.
I think their next step would be to go to an independent schedule.
That's what Butler
did. Butler did that. Albert Gallatin did that.
The other question I was going to ask you guys is, we clearly have promotion in Pennsylvania high school football. We see Aliquippa play up above its weight class all the time. Why doesn't it work the other way? Why isn't there more relegation? Like, I just don't think it's advantageous for anybody to have games where 15, 16, 17-year-old kids get beat 53-0 every Friday night, and that's their high school football experience. And even though they've got big enrollment numbers, they should be playing like 3A schools. I'm not going to maybe they probably would still lose a lot of those games.
I think they would. I think they would actually lose to almost the entire WPIAL. I'm not exaggerating.
Are you saying pound for pound?
So you think single A teams would mop the floor with them? Obviously, Clareton would.
Some of them, Fort Cherry.
Like, if Union played them, Union's good every year.
I actually think most of the 1A teams would.
Then
beat
I just
them.
Think my solution, while it might not be all about school pride, is the most elegant one. Disperse the do a dispersal kind of thing where, to whatever the neighboring district, South Park, Brentwood, maybe TJ, you just send the kids at random. So you can't have, like, Chirpak getting in there and saying, I want the best ones, I want the good ones.
Yeah, how would you work that, though?
You just completely draw it at random. Pick how many districts. Like, say you got 5 districts, or maybe it's just 3 districts that are going to get 10 kids apiece, and draw them at random.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.